Baseball is back, and BetMGM, official partner of Major League Baseball, is bringing the heat all season long. Step up to the plate all season with Swing for the Fences, the free-to-play game where every swing could score you rewards. We're talking parlay boost tokens, odds boost tokens, same-game parlay boost, and even bonus spins all season long. And the action doesn't stop there. Get more out of every at-bat with MLB same-game parlay boost. Stack your picks and boost your potential payout. Plus, lock in bigger value with MLB odds boost tokens and MLB parlay boost tokens all season long. More boosts, more swings, more chances to win. Download the BetMGM app and step up to the plate today. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. 21 plus to wager. DC, Maryland, and Virginia only. Existing customer offer. Subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards pay back and unrestricted withdrawable funds. Please play responsibly. Call 1-800-GAMBLER. For help in Maryland, can also visit mdgamblinghelp.org in partnership with MGM National Harbor.
Whether the action is at the link or the bank, there's never an off day on Broad Street. It's the biggest news of the day, every day, with takes from someone who's never short on them. It's WIP Daily with Joe Giglio.
Welcome on in, WIP Daily, Joe Giglio with you. I appreciate everyone listening, subscribing, following the podcast. YouTube feed is 94 WIP. Check it out there. What a night for the Phillies last night. I mean, Derek Hill, after the Schwarber walk, just like what they did the night before with Trey and DeMarge, they win the game. Duran closes it down. And the Phillies right now are the number one wild card in the National League. They're only 4.5 games behind the Atlanta Braves. We have ourselves a summer of baseball to watch and to root for and to look forward to hopefully a fall of baseball here in Philadelphia. And what I want to dive into today, we'll talk about a lot of the stuff on the midday show today. We're going to be down at the Beer Bowl in Sea Isle, J.C. Kelce's event, the two-day event, Team 62, as they raise money for the Eagles Autism Foundation. So very excited to be part of everything today with the Kelce event down here at Sea Isle. But, you know, watching the game last night and thinking about the Phillies and this team and where they're at, what is interesting to me over the next 6 weeks leading to the MLB trade deadline on August 3rd isn't what the Phillies need. I think we could all pick out the three areas they could use a boost in. Number one would be their offense, with the bat, particularly in the outfield. Number two would be a starting pitcher to give them at least depth, if not more, behind the top three in the rotation of Christopher Sanchez, Zach Wheeler, and Jesus Luzardo. You have Aaron Nola entrenched as a five, but kind of really a four. And then you have Alan Ronhell and, you know, who knows, as a number five starter right now with Painter down the minor leagues. You need another starter. And then, of course, there's the bullpen, which has struggled in front of Joan Duran, who has been spectacular, deserving of being in the All-Star game here in Philadelphia. And for my money, a top 11 athlete in Philadelphia right now. Duran is incredible. But they've struggled in front of him. And I think what the challenging part for Dave Dombrowski, and this is really where he's going to make his money, and really Dave Dombrowski will decide if the Phillies have a legitimate chance at the pennant, based on his ability to know thyself, his ability to know his club, and his ability to understand what is real and what is not, separating fact from fiction, separating real from not real, you know, reality from nonsense. And what I mean by that is the Phillies are going to have ebbs and flows over the next 6 weeks in every area of their team, but specifically, they're going to have ebbs and flows in the three areas that I already mentioned: starting pitching, the back end, the bullpen, and the offense. And Dave Dombrowski has to accurately forecast what he's seeing, what will sustain, and what will not. Because I'll tell you what, for me, every day, my mind shifts on what the biggest need is. And if the Phillies are going to, let's say they have in their holster the ability to get a B player, a C player, and a C-minus player, okay? I don't think they have the ability to get an A player based on their farm system, but let's just use my system for a second here. They have the ability to get a B player, a B level player, a C level player, and a C minus level player. You know, they have to make the decision on do we go use the resources on the B level player for our offense? Let's go get a right fielder that could sustain us for the rest of the year. Do we put the B level, you know, chips in to go get a starting pitcher because we might need a guy that has to start game four of a playoff series if Aaron Nola cannot be that guy. And we also have a lack of depth there. Or do we go put our chips in the B-level relief pitcher, because in front of Duran right now, it is choppy. It's called for what it is. It's pretty darn choppy in front of Duran. I don't trust Alvarado. Keller was a disaster before he got hurt. We'll see what he does when he comes back. Kirkwood's been fine, but I don't consider him that leverage guy that you really want out there in the biggest crucible moment. I like Jonathan Bolin. Not a good moment for him last night with me hitting the home run. And he might be too young or too, and maybe not young, he's not super young, but inexperienced to just trust him and say, you're going to have to go get Shohei Ohtani or Matt Olson out and Mookie Betts and Will Smith and Freddie Freeman in the crucible moment of the game. So you could throw your eggs in that basket. Right now, as we sit here today on, what have we got? It is June 25th. As I sit here on June 25th, if I had to put my eggs in the basket of anything, I would go and land one more relief pitcher. I am starting to see some signs with the offense that they're coming out of this. Starting to see some signs. I'm starting to see some signs for Bryson Stott that he's coming out of this. The Marsh thing is totally real. JT has had more of a pulse the last 6 to 8 weeks. Alec Bohm has had more of a pulse the last 5 to 7 weeks. So I'm not saying these guys are great, and they could all come up short in the postseason series, but I'm starting to see some signs of life there beyond Schwarber, beyond Harper, that I could not put my biggest asset into the bats. The thing I am, so here's what I'm most sure about right now. I'm most sure that the thing I need the least, the thing I'm least concerned about, is the starting pitcher. I think the Phillies have enough starting pitching for October. I'm not that concerned about it. You know, Sanchez and Wheeler are as good of a 1-2 as you'll find in Major League Baseball. I believe Jesus Luzardo's ERA this year has been misleading, and I still believe in him. Those 13 strikeouts the other night against the team that scored the most runs per game in baseball is nothing to sneeze at. The defense has let Luzardo down. He's had some bad innings here or there. There is the chance that he flops in October. There is, but I saw him last year, and I thought he held his own. I like Jesus Luzardo. You guys know I've been a fan of his really from the minute he got here. And I think he'll bring in October. I think he'll be more than adequate as the number three starter. I don't need to improve on that. And then it comes down to Aaron Nola. I think Aaron Nola's pitched a little bit better than his earned run average this year. Now, it's not great, and I don't know if he's going to have enough. You know, usually Nola, when he was at his best, would have like 2 or 3 or 4, 7 or 8 innings, 0 or 1 run starts during the season. And it would kind of even out his tough games, and the ERA would stabilize because of it. I don't know how many of those he has left in his body, certainly this season. So I don't know if he's going to stabilize that ERA to a place that you're comfortable with. I think even if he has a good second half, it's probably going to hover in the 4.6s, 4.7s, 4.8s. And we're just going to have to accept that that's what he is. But I think if you went and looked at some of his metrics under the radar stuff, I think we would probably say, it's a little better than we thought. I'd be okay with Aaron Nola starting game 4 of a playoff series. I would. The Phillies got to a World Series with Bailey Falter and Noah Syndergaard starting game 4s. They got there with Joe Blanton starting game 4s. I don't think you need in that fourth spot anything special. And I think Aaron Nola could be adequate enough in a big game to get you through 4 or 5 innings with 3 runs. Not great, but just to keep you in the game. And you could also protect him in an opener if you so choose. I mean, the Phillies last year, you know, kind of rolled him out from the Dodger game, and then they had Ranger Ray to go behind him, and they piggybacked them. I mean, you could do something like that if you are able to land a fifth starter type that you feel good about entering the postseason. You could tandem it. You could piggyback it. So you do the Phillies need another starting pitcher? Of course they do. I mean, Alan Rangel, we'll see if the league catches up, what they see out on tape and for the next start. I believe he'll pitch this weekend against the Mets. But yeah, I mean, I'm not counting on Alan Rangel. I think he can give them a month or so of decent baseball before they go get a number 5 starter. But I don't need anything special out of the rotation right now in that last spot that is just basically just replacing Taiwan / Painter / you know, and now it's Alan Rangel. I just need someone to soak up some innings there and be okay as the fifth starter. What my priority list today looks like this. It looks like relief pitcher 1.
DMV summers are no joke. The heat, the humidity, the beltway at 5 p.m. AC season is here and your car needs to keep up. Rota is the DMV's most trusted auto shop with over 1,000 five-star Google reviews. From AC checks to oil changes to detailing, we keep your car ready with no hidden fees and no pressure. plus free valet pickup and drop-off, so you don't have to lift a finger. Book at Rota.com and save 20% on maintenance, repairs, or detailing with code POD20.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing.
And Bubba Wallace.
You know what's the worst part of a race? A rain delay.
Sitting around, waiting for the track to dry, is dull.
But instead of waiting, we hang out with Chumba Casino.
Social casino slots, bingo, solitaire, plenty of fun to keep us entertained.
So why let a rain delay slow you down? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
As the U.S. men's national team takes center stage at a home World Cup, make sure you're listening to Call It What You Want, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network, where you can join me, I'm Jimmy Conrad, alongside Charlie Davies, Tony Miola, Marcelo Balboa, and Benny Feilhaber throughout this tournament for previews, instant reactions, and analysis of every U.S. match. Then all summer, we're back every Tuesday and Thursday, covering all things U.S. men's national team. Download and follow Call It What You Want on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Aroldis Chapman would be a huge potential impact there. Bat number two, and you know, Seiya Suzuki would be the ideal, but you know, buggers come up, he chooses, and the Phillies have to figure out the best possible bat they can get. And then starting pitcher would be three. It's just not a grave concern for me right now. But this is where Dave Dombrowski is going to have to really hone in on what he's seeing, what his scouts are telling him, what the underlying numbers are telling him. You know, just because an area of the team stabilizes or gets better within the next couple weeks doesn't mean it's fixed. It could be a blip. And what Dave can't get fooled by is a blip by any of these groups, any of them. He has to be honest with himself and just say, like, all right, what do I really trust here? Who do I really trust? Which area do I have enough? Which area do I clearly not have enough? And I need to get more now. Get more before it's too late as we go down the stretch of the season. That's the key. That's the question. And that's going to be the hardest question to determine, because it wouldn't surprise me if the Phillies reeled off three or four good weeks in a row out of their bullpen. That wouldn't surprise me. I mean, they have dominant closer, right? So they have that start to the whole thing. They have Duran. On, you know, Kirkery has pitched well in spurts. Boland has pitched well. I mean, they could have a couple of weeks where they pitch really well, and then maybe you're like, ah, we don't really need a reliever. And then you get to October, and you get to the big moment, and it's like, oh, crap. It's the eighth inning, and we got to go hand the ball to Kirkery because Keller's unavailable or he's hurt or not good anymore or whatever. Same thing goes with the bats. You know, I am starting to see some good signs, but maybe I'm wrong. I mean, this offense has been the same offense for years now, and ultimately they come up small in big moments. I think another good piece in the lineup would go a long way to helping them not go as cold. But, you know, perhaps the stop breakout is real. Perhaps Bohm is turning into the guy he typically usually is. Perhaps JT's gotten an extra life here because Don Mattingly has played him less with the three catches on the roster and just, you know, having the gravitas to tell JT he's going to sit more, which he clearly has. He's becoming this team's manager. And maybe Alan Ronhell, after, you know, development within this organization, has become a solid piece. And maybe Andrew Painter can get it back together. So it would not surprise me in the least if we get over the next 3, 4, 5 weeks and the order of operations, the order of need, the order of concern changes over and over and over again. And this would be easier if the Phillies had an amazing farm system and we said, well, you know, just go get the most quality starter, the most quality reliever, the most quality bat you could find, and let's go win the World Series. You know, that's not the world we live in. The Phillies don't reside in that world. I don't even know if the top bats in terms of the outfield will actually be available because Byron Buxton and Mike Trout seemingly don't want to go or their teams don't want to let them go. So you kind of take them off the market. The Phillies probably don't have what the Chicago Cubs need in order to pry, say, a Suzuki. That feels like a team like the Mariners could absolutely pry Suzuki from Chicago because the Mariners are just overflowing with starting pitching, which the Cubs are desperate for, trading for David Peterson last night from the New York Mets as they play them. He just walked across the clubhouse. I mean, they're desperate for arms in Chicago. And the Mariners always desperate for bats that could hit left-handed pitching. Suzuki fits that a lot. So I don't even know if the Phillies are able to acquire that kind of player. You know, if I had a guess right now, I think we're trending towards solid starting pitcher, maybe a bat, that could take over for the number four from Nola if he really struggles. But if he's just a five, he's just a five. I think you're going to get solid but not spectacular outfielder. And I think Dave Dombrowski is going to go back to the well on the relief pitching and go get himself something real in front of the run. So now, is that definitely going to be Aroldis Chapman? No, he's probably just the biggest name and the best name out there for a relief pitcher, and he's got so much experience and big game stuff. And I mean, he's an awesome, awesome pitcher. If the Phillies could have this rotation and at the back end, eighth, ninth inning, it's Chapman and Duran, I mean, these would become seven inning games. Don Mattingly would basically have to manage the seventh inning. If you anticipate Wheeler and Sanchez to go at least six, the only thought that Don Mattingly would have to have in the game from a pitching perspective was, how do I navigate the seventh? Can Sanchez and or Wheeler get me through it? Do I have to get them help to get through the seventh inning? And then we go to Chapman for the eighth. We go to Duran for the ninth. And then the Luzardo game would be more like managing the sixth and the seventh innings. You know, hopefully Luzardo gets you quality five innings, probably strike out 10. And then I have to get six outs before I get the ball to the two guys that will end the game. That would be where I'd go right now. Like today, as I sit here right now, I am eyeing the bullpen. And I am eyeing Aroldis Chapman. I'm eyeing a guy that has been a spectacular relief pitcher. So my order is reliever, bat, starter. It could change. And for Dave Dombrowski, his job is going to make sure that he figures out the actual top area need, the actual least concerning area, and the one that sits in the middle, and not get fooled by the next 4 to 5 weeks of action. Either way, struggles or excellence from his ball club. I appreciate everyone listening, subscribing, follow the podcast. Our YouTube feed is 94WIP. Check it out there. Beer Bowl down in Sea Isle today. Jason Kelsey's Team 62 event. It's going to be a great time to listen to the Midday Show. Of course, YouTube, 94WIP. Check it out there. We'll talk soon on WIP Daily.